Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Peace and blessings to you on this day of September 12th. We've got a lot of things that are happening in our community, in our area. A little scary, I'm going to say, but within God's realm, sure. So we're going to start off the show like we normally do, and what I'm going to do is read the Declaration of the International Black Summit, and then we're going to go from there and pause for the cause. And see what's happening. Having a little difficulty finding a few things. All right, let's get it going. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And inside of that, let's have a moment of silence for the people who are recovering or in parts of recovery inside the conversation. Irma and Jose. Who's the other one? There's a third one that I can't think of. But anyway, so let's inside of our moment of silence, let's include them in the conversation in terms of who they are and what they're up to. And let's go from there. Moment of silence, please. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. Moment of silence. Thank you for joining the show. Just a little bit rattled today. Looking at what we need to do just to kind of settle myself inside of the conversation. One of the things that I need to do is I need to find my phone. I don't seem to be able to do that, which is not a good thing, but it's a thing. So, and I don't have a way of getting a hold of my partner in crime and letting her know that we are, in fact, on. And synchronize. This is really weird. Okay. So, we're going to do this the way that we're going to do it. So, let's start off the conversation with no out there. No out there. What does that distinction mean to you? What does that distinction mean to me? Why is it an important conversation for us to have? Well, we've distinguished clearing. We distinguished um, We've distinguished clearing. We've distinguished trigger. We've distinguished. So this week we're no right way to be is the other one. That's the other one that we have thrown together. But I haven't heard a whole lot of others that we're gonna be talking about as part of this series. So no out there is one of those distinctions that causes you to be caught in the moment, to be, what's the best way to say it? It's one of those distinctions when you get out there that you think that it's about them, but it's really about you. It really is about you. And, you know, that's all that I can say about it. It's kind of like that space where I'm not going to say wandering, but you act like somebody else, pulling the trigger, being in control, but yet it's really you. You know, it's kind of like that pointing the finger. So when you point the finger at somebody, you got one finger pointing at them, you got three pointing back at you. So no out there really is about you finding out for yourself that it's not them out there, that it really is you over here. And so it really is like that. So I don't know how to say it any better than that, because it really, it's when you think that person is being annoying and being an arrogant, you know, son of a gun, and actually what you're being reminded of or being reflective of is yourself. Like, that's you. Like, that's the real you. Like, that's the you that's been hiding out. So, no out there is really, really like that. I don't think there's any other way to say it than that, because it really is that. You know, I mean, not delivers. So that's what I want to say about it for right now. Trying to see what happened with my co-host. I'm going to give her a call in a second and see what's happening. But for now, I'm going to give a ring here. I'm sorry, we had a little technical difficulty, and I'm not sure what happened. And I'm trying to do a couple things and not having luck tonight. So I'm not sure what's going on. And why things are not happening. So we'll work through it as best we can. And let me see if I can get a hold of Henrietta. Let's see if I can give her a call. see what's going on with that. So bear with me. A little rough tonight. I'm not sure what the okay, let's try dialing out. See if that works. And hopefully we'll connect with her.
Hey, Glenn.
I forget things. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. I'm dialing you from inside of the show.
Oh,
welcome,
how nice.
Welcome.
She's saying my mother.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So we're having a quick conversation, and I have seemed to misplace my other phone, so I'm in the process of trying to find it and couldn't text you. So I decided to give you a call inside of Talk Show Network.
Oh, well, thank you.
And it works.
Well, that's great.
Imagine that.
Okay. All right. Right.
So anyway, so we're talking about no outbreak. And as soon as I find my phone, I'll text some other folks. But until then, it's you and I.
Okay. Well,
so I explained my version of no out there. You might want to take a stab at it in terms of what that means, what that distinction means to you.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. I'm moving. So it is an interesting distinction, to say the least. How I see no out there is that it is like you're always looking in the mirror. One is always looking in the mirror, and they see what appears to be other people, what appears to be other people, situations that are outside of themselves, judgment. You know, we see ourselves judging something other than ourselves, and what's actually occurring is that we're looking at ourselves through, let me see how to put this. Yeah, we're looking at ourselves through our eyes, and it just looks like somebody else. You know, it looks like something else. It looks like out there, over there. You know, like there's that person with that opinion, and there's that person with that situation. And when we look closely, it's our situation. We are that person. We are what's going on. So that's kind of how I hold it. One of the ways, I'll say, one of the ways distinguish no out there.
Yeah. I actually have a similar distinction in that it, you know, I use the expression pointing the finger, you know, and three fingers pointing back at you.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
So, I mean, it really is that, I think, in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really is, if you can say, a truth.
Say it again. It really isn't what?
It really is a true self-reflection.
Because why do you think?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on. Because you said it's a true self-reflection. Because
it's a true self-reflection because you're looking at who you are, looking at who you are, and what you're up to. You find it in other people, but it's really you.
Yeah. So say more about that, Glenn, because how do you know it's really you?
Well, that's part of the discovery. That's part of the intrigue of the conversation. Is that you get to see yourself in that other person. So the very thing that you are critical of and agitated by usually is that very thing in yourself.
And so if we take a look at that thing that agitates us, that appears to be in the other person, but if we look at that agitation as to what it is that has us be agitated, we'll find that it's something within us.
Right. And so the no out there has us begin to engage in that aspect. Well, why am I so agitated? Why am I so upset by this thing or that person or that way of being?
Mm-hmm.
And it usually has to do with how we be.
Okay. And so they just arrived on the scene to show us a part of us that I say is calling to be healed. Like saying, handle this, take care of this, you know. Take care of this. I'm here and I'm not going away until you do something about me. I'm going to keep showing up in your life, in this person, in that situation, in that person, wherever you go, here I am. And until you take care of me, I'm going to be there.
And not only am I going to be there, but I'm going to be up in your face making you agitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's really what it does. It's kind of like tuna fork. So when you have two tuna forks that are the same note, and you hit one in one corner of the room, the one in the far corner starts to agitate as well.
Okay.
So it really begins to point to what's causing that agitation. And that agitation, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, I'm going to say usually, points back to that same note, that same frequency, that same way of being, that same attitude, that same, sentiment. You know, there's something that's in common about that conversation.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a wonderful thing, you know. It's really almost a free form of therapy, you know, that we create.
Well, it's if we can see it as that.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get to the point where we see it as that, because sometimes all it is just agitation.
Okay.
And we don't know where it's coming from, what's causing it, what's the particular, you know, we just go around, oh, that person, that thing, that situation just agitates the crap out of me. As opposed to, why is it that this thing always agitates me? Because, see, I assert that most people don't do the work.
Right.
They just go around being agitated and then start avoiding that thing, person, or place, or way of being in their life so that they're not agitated, rather than look to see where is that showing up in their life and where are they the source of that. So no out there, I would say, is one of the more senior distinctions, because you have to have some level of mastery around noticing yourself. You have to have some mastery around clearing yourself. There's certainly trigger to understand or know what is triggering you. So those three distinctions, you have to have some mastery of those three to really even begin to look at know out there as a distinction. So I'll call it a senior distinction.
You call it a what?
A senior distinction. So you have to have mastered, so you can't be a junior in the conversation of distinctions and master that one right out the bat. Like clearing, you can master out the bat. Even no right way to be, you can begin to get some access to that. Noticing, you get right off the bat. Clearing, noticing, trigger. Those are pretty much, you don't need a whole lot of prep work to get those distinctions. Make sense?
Yeah. But know out there, you have to have some facility, some mastery over the other one, the other three that you're talking about.
Yeah, and maybe there may be more that you might have to, but I know for me, it's a minimum of at least those three.
And what are the three again?
Noticing, clearing, and trigger.
Noticing, clearing, and trigger. Okay. Noticing, clearing, trigger. Andrea joined us, and so welcome, Andrea, to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Andrea. What do you say about the distinction know out there?
My story about no out there is I got this thing about community going on, and I got that everything that I can perceive is representative of a relationship that I have with something. Say that again.
No, that's good.
And I got more. So
yeah, no, keep coming. That's perfect. That's perfect. Because that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the thing that we see in other people that's really in us. But we are looking out, we notice it in them before we notice it in ourselves. And so that relationship, when we begin to trust ourselves and know ourselves, we begin to see that thing that's agitating us in ourselves. And that's you're talking about community and the relationship of community to yourself. And so when there's no out there, it has me look back at myself, at where am I, that thing that I'm pointing to out there with somebody else.
Well, I'm beginning to look at the possibility of not always drawing it back into the space I call I.
Okay.
And get that I is a perception. That is a place to stand to perceive what's going on. When I say you, that's another space. When I say we, that's another space. So I'm looking at what happens when I don't try to translate it back into me. It's kind of like translating everything that's said into English.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily doing that with the I. Because I don't see the I as any more valuable than you. It's another way of looking at things. So when I translate everything back to I, it's kind of, I give everything that I translate back to I certain kind of spin on it. So if I'm present to all of this being me, all of it, I'm looking at not translating it into I and what happens, what shows up. I'm still seeing something. I'm just looking at what I'm doing to maybe, let me use the word minimize, but I don't want it. The minimize is really not the real word. That's just to give you some perspective of what I'm talking about. How do I, am I minimizing things to look at them from the space of I? I think that
okay. That's
that's pretty much it.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. And what I found for myself is that it actually is expansive for me when I look at I. Because what I see is myself owning all that is in me. So all that's in I, all that's in you, and all that's in we. When I look at myself, so I use it to expand my conversation. Now, that's not to say that there's anything wrong with how you're looking at it at all. So don't feel that. Don't get that. I use it. And we all use it differently. And so how I use it is just different, that's all. It's like in language where you use a different word for the same thing. So I think it's actually an interesting perspective that you have around it. I've got to now look to see how that relates to me, because you've kind of awoken something. So we're in the exploration, So for you guys who are listening, what we're engaged in is the exploration of this distinction, no out there. And inside of that conversation, the different aspects of looking at no out there. And so we are now engaging in different aspects from different perspectives, and I'm going to say different access points to the conversation of no out there. So I'm glad. So I want to thank you for your perspective, because now I have another way of looking at it and another way of engaging in it that I hadn't really had before you shared what you shared. So you get that, Andrea?
Yep.
So now, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's new to me as well. It is. I'll talk about that other day. Go ahead.
No. It's good. This is a great conversation because we are in exploration. So we're facilitators of the conversation of the International Black Summit, but we're not like a trainer training people in it is this way. So for you folks who are listening to this, this is really an engagement that we're having with each other as we explore the distinctions. Because, yes, we created the distinction, but the distinction lives in us and in our discoveries inside of us. So this is an opportunity for me to come from a different perspective that I've come from before inside of the conversation no out there. And I love the I, you, and we conversation, because it really, that's what we interact with. That's what we're in relationship with when we go out into the world. You, I, or we. But I've never heard it quite that way, which is, real, it's nice and clean. So, Henrietta, where are you at in this conversation?
Where are you in the
conversation,
Henrietta? I'm here.
So where are you at inside of this conversation, the I, you, we, and the relationship that it has to know out there and to the opportunity of expansion or reduction of looking at the I?
I'm mastering is the word that comes to me. You know, it's like mastering the practice of noticing. What were the three? Noticing my trigger. And what was the third one?
It was noticing, trigger, and clearing.
And when I say I'm in the practice of noticing, of noticing that, I find myself like there are times where I'm very clear that it's me, that I'm seeing inside of someone else. There's no doubt about it. And then there are other times where I'm like, oh, no. That is not the way I be. And so when I say mastering it, it's like accepting that it's always that way. That I'm always walking around with myself, no matter what they look like, who they look like, who they don't look like, that it's me. So I would say, where am I in this conversation? I'm in the process. Of being with that distinction,
great. No, that's good. That's good because I know that this is one of those distinctions that comes up every now and then. It's not, I wouldn't put it in my top five or top five. But I notice that this is one, not that I struggle with, but I know that this one doesn't come up as often. And the part that you said, I think, was great, that sometimes you have to kind of put a pause in it. Is this my stuff? Is it their stuff? And so that's where the mastery, as you pointed to, comes in play, to be able to distinguish from a clearing standpoint, is that me or is that just something going on over there with them? Now, I get to look and see if it's over here with me, but I don't have to label it. And maybe that's where the minimizing of the I comes into place as well. So that may be that's kind of interesting. What I just noticed in that. Okay, good. That's good. So, anybody else? Because I kind of find this quite fascinating, actually.
Yeah, I do too. I'm like, is it always? Is it sometimes? Or is it when I'm paying attention to it? No.
Well, I think
did we get cut off?
No, can you hear me?
Oh, no, I couldn't. Just heard you when you said that.
Oh, sorry. So I was saying I got a call today from someone who's been doing the same. You know, I'm doing a street fair in 2 weeks. And so the person who's been doing a street fair in downtown Jamaica for the last 21 years called me up they didn't call me up, but they called two other people up and said that we had taken a picture of their festival and put it on our flyer. And so I knew that we hadn't done that, and so I had to look to see where she was coming from and what she was up to inside of that conversation. And I had to look to see, was it something that I did, because obviously she's feeling some kind of encroachment or some entitlement that I'm violating because I'm having a street fair also. And, of course, mine is the first one I've done, and theirs has been around for 21 years. And so I had to look to see, was that my stuff? Was that her stuff? Was that collateral damage going on? And so I had to determine that it wasn't my stuff, it was her stuff, and that I was okay with where she was with it, and that I didn't have to do anything with it. So it's valuable to look to see where you are. You know, is it your stuff? Is it their stuff? Is it the weed stuff? So in that case, it was pretty clear to me that it was not my stuff because we hadn't stolen her picture from her festival, which, you know, which I thought was interesting. But even if we had, why would that be so upsetting? You know, that's where I was looking from. So it was interesting to see and kind of go through that process in the conversation. So I don't know, does that communicate, does that make sense to what we're talking about?
And you know what, that's a really good example or analogy, because the thing about it, why is it important? You know, why is there upset? And it's about ownership. You know, it's about owning what's ours and what's not ours. You know, and it's challenging enough sometimes to own what's ours, but to own what's not ours. Nobody, you know, who wants to do that? It's like somebody else's trouble. You know, nobody wants somebody else's trouble, right? You could look at it the opposite way, too. If you want somebody else's riches or abundance or something like that, you know, it's just like taking ownership of what's yours or what you've worked on. You know, if I look at something or something irritates me and I look at it as somebody else's stuff and not mine, then I'm, you know, my ego is just keeping me from growing, I'll say, from growing. If I take it on, no matter what, and I take a look, at least take a look and see if it's my stuff, then I have nothing to lose from doing that. You know, nothing to lose from doing that. And it's interesting because I just had this flash, and then I want to ask Andrea to jump in here. But I just had this flash of when I was in a particular part of Nigeria, and the traffic was really, really slow. And when we got up closer to the front of what appeared to be the traffic jam, I could plainly see that there was a person that was laying on the ground. And the driver that we had said that was the reason. It wasn't an accident, but it was someone who was not in the street, but someone over on the side who had fallen. They might have been sick, they might, whatever, passed out or whatever. And the practice is to slow down and see if it's someone that you know or if it's a loved one. It's just to see if it's...
Wow, how interesting.
You know, and if it is, then you stop and you take care of that person. And if it's not, you keep going. But you at least slow down and take a look and see if it's someone that you know. That's what I heard in those examples that you gave. Andrea? I don't know, she may have stepped away. So but is that what you're saying, Glenn? Kind of an example of what you're saying about noticing?
Yeah, so it's certainly an example of noticing, and then you begin to note, to interact with that in terms of is that your stuff or their stuff? Is that the I, you, or we conversation? So that you get to engage in it from that level. Does that make sense? And so, but you need that kind of engagement to really utilize the no out there.
Uh-huh.
Because, see, sometimes I'm like, no, it definitely is out there. It's like, I don't want it to be over here. So it's got to be
right
over there.
Right. That is not who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. That ain't my stuff. That's out there. That ain't over here. But it's powerful to be able to begin to distinguish that in a way that is self-reflective, but still owning the whole space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, owning the result that's being produced, and you have something to do with it. Because
okay.
I'm clear that sending out the flyer this morning triggered her response.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the response probably didn't have anything to do with the flyer. That response was already there, but it took the trigger to the next level so that she had to react. And her reaction
yeah.
was calling two people and saying that we took a picture of her festival and put it on our flyer.
Right.
You know, and clearly we didn't, because we took it from an event in Manhattan just for that reason, because we didn't want to be accused of taking something from her and putting it on the flyer. So we were consciously trying to avoid that, and yet it still occurred. And she's never called me directly to ask about it. But she chose to vent to those two people who, of course, came to me to find
out. Uh-huh.
And one person already said, oh, I looked at the picture. I know it's an event in Manhattan. It's not her event.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knew that, but he said, you may get a call from her around this. I said, well, I haven't gotten a call yet. She's got my numbers. You know, she can give us a call. So, you know, so, and then one of the photographers that I work with came in and also said that he had heard the same thing. And then I showed him, I blew it up and showed him Fifth Avenue, which is in Manhattan, and he said, oh, yes, clearly that it's not. He said, in fact, the angle that I took the shot from, this is not consistent with it, so this couldn't have been my shot for this organization. So it was interesting, I had to look
right.
to see, because clearly
yeah.
I caused that by putting out the flyer. So,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see the dynamics of people and what they're going through and what they're up against and what is it that they are sometimes afraid of, sometimes, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, it's hard to say, but I have to look to see, is that something that is me that I have to look into myself? So in doing that, I looked at, okay, well, I did the things that I thought were the prudent thing to do, and I feel like I did everything that I should have done. Now, maybe I could have called her, so that's another alternative that maybe I could have called her to let her know directly that I was doing a festival. But she knew about it. She knows about it. So, I mean, it's not like it's a secret. Because we're in a small community. So it's not like, you know, so it's interesting. It's just the dynamics of it is interesting. And so I'm left with that the flyer really was the straw that broke the camel's back that had her react to us having a festival. And other people have festivals, but not a street festival like she's doing, where she's closing down the streets. And her area is 10 blocks. Mine is 3. So, you know, we're not even talking about the same kind of dynamics.
Right.
The festival has been gone for 21 years. She brings about 250,000 people to her event. I'm looking to get 20,000 with my first year. So, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's apples and oranges. But, you know, maybe it's her, you know, I'm an apple, but still the same, you know, a different apple, but in the same species or something, you know, the same group. So I don't know. So until I talk to her, I'll find out.
Yeah, that reminds me of being present to someone else's vision,
uh-huh.
You know, or not. You know, when you look and you see, and you, God, that was my idea. You know, I had that idea, so-and-so like that, you know, and then you look at it and it's not the same. Similar, but it's not the same, you know. So I think the beauty of it, of this distinction is that it gives us or gives one the opportunity to look, to actually do the work looking, you know, to go in, take a deeper look, see like you did, get the photographer, see what angle the photo was taken from. That's all doing the work. You know, like, is that really what I was going for? You know, or does it just look like what I was going for? And I think there's a term that I'm reaching for in this moment. It's like doing the, you know, it's like research. It's like doing the research, but the research is in your own, of your own mind, of your own consciousness, like taking a look and seeing, is that really what I wanted, you know, or does it just look the same? And being honest about it, you know, not being right about it, but just being honest, like, yep, that's my stuff, or nope, that's not my stuff. It looks like my stuff, but that's not my stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I'm naming it, because I've never heard this expression before, but I'm naming it a senior distinction, because I think that you need a couple of the other distinctions in order to master it.
Yeah.
No,
I like that. I like the way you name that. Yeah. Well, Glenn, it's about time for us to say goodbye.
It sure enough is, my dear. Sure enough. But it's always great. It's always great to engage in the possibility of this work, to engage in the exploration of the distinctions and what they mean to us and how we can use them in our lives. And, you know, so I love the series. I think it's a powerful, powerful series. So thank you for thinking about it and introducing it to the show.
Right. And stay with us every Tuesday, 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific time, as we engage in conversation on the distinctions of the International Black Summit. We'll keep on doing it. And as one of our facilitators, John, says, as long as we keep distinguishing, with their distinction. Once we stop distinguishing and we make them laws, they're no longer distinctions. Okay? So that's the great part.
Good.
Isn't that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because then it becomes a law. a is. It becomes an is. That's brilliant. Good work, John Thomas. Well, we're bringing the show to an end. This is www.blacksummit.org. That's our website. So if you'd like some more information on some of the events that are occurring, future events that are coming up, please check out the website. We, as Henrietta Bird said, we are on from 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern for about an hour. And we're looking to open up possibilities in your lives personally, community-wise, and certainly for your family. And we hope to do that every time that we open up the mic and have a conversation with you. So that's our commitment. That's our intention. That's how what we're looking to do. And peace and love. Anything else for you, Henrietta? All right. Looks like we're out. Thank you for being part of this conversation tonight. And God bless and good night. And have a powerful explore things. Oh, what happened? Your mics went out. That's what happened. What's up with that? Why did the mics go off? 757, is that our brother Jerry?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, my brother? We were just about to close out. I'm looking at the phone. I said, wait a minute, that is my brother, man. How are
you
doing, brother?
I'm good. I just kicked in because I was trying to call before, but I couldn't get on. So.
Oh, okay. And then we have 773-491. Your mic is open as well.
Hey, Glenn, I've been trying to shout in for a while. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. The mic is open. So some reason the mic got turned off or something. I'm not sure what happened. So did you want to say anything before we close out? And then I'll let Jerry go.
What are you going to be talking about next week?
I don't know. Maybe we continue this conversation. Maybe we pick another distinction. What would you like
to
do?
Because I have a little bit more to say about that. So if I have an opportunity to share it next week, maybe I'll be able to ponder and think. No, I definitely will be ponder and think on it during this week. I just would look forward to being able to say something more about Noah out there.
Absolutely. Well, then that's what it'll be, my dear.
Okay.
We love having you on the show. You know that, right?
Yes, and I said
good.
I love being here. I feel love.
Good. And give Claudia a hug for me.
Yeah, because he's been listening too. He's laying back in the cut, but he's been listening.
Oh, tell her hi.
Okay. Go ahead, Jerry.
I definitely want to go through this. There's no way out there because, you know, I definitely want to continue that next week, too. Let's continue that conversation, too.
Okay. All right. Good.
Trying to sharpen up the deceased teachings. Because
listen to the last couple of shows. Because they're real good.
Okay, because distinctions, what I learned from the prerequisites of the Internet's Blessed Summit, the distinctions help define a certain part of the conversation.
Yes, indeed, brother.
And so we have to really understand that, and we that's part of we facilitate the conversation. That's part of these things. Uh-huh. These conversations play a vital role of our life and in the conversation. And so, when you don't know certain distinctions, you cannot really define what the conversation is really all about. And I think that's what I get from it when y'all developed the conversation back in Atlanta in 91. And then it finally came in. It came in existence, but when International Black Summit, when the name popped up, came to existence in 95, I'm very clear that the distinctions played a big role. That's what I get.
Yep.
That's what I get from it.
Gotcha. Gotcha, brother. Well, we're going to close it out for tonight.
Okay.
We love you. Thank
love
you.
Love y'all too.
For joining the show. And listeners out there, again, www.blacksummit.org is our website. Come join it. Check it out. Leave a comment. Say hello.
Yeah.
And
remember, it's a process.
Yes, sir.
It's a process,
it is that.
People.
That's right. Got to do the work.
All right, my brother. Thanks again.
All right. Andrea, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Peace out.
Hey.
Good night.
Good night.